Our psalm reading this morning comes from Psalm 8. Hear the word of the Lord. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise because of your enemies, to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You made him ruler over all the works of your hands. You put everything under his feet, all flocks and herds and the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, all that swim the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, as we bow before you this morning, we pray that you will come and enter into our service through the power of the Holy Spirit. On this Trinity Sunday, we pray that you will open our hearts and our minds and help us, Lord, to hear your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our New Testament reading this morning comes from the letter to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This is the word of the Lord. We hear this phrase, justified by faith, frequently in our church. It's a part of our Reformed theology, where we say that one of the major tenets of our faith is that we are justified by God's grace through our faith in Jesus Christ. But what is this justified? What does this justification mean? It must be something pretty important, since the Apostle Paul speaks of it in terms of peace with God and gaining access to God's grace. Let me read one more time the first two verses from Romans 5. It says, and listen for the key words here that are at the core of our Christian belief. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, did you hear those beautiful and comforting words? Peace, grace, rejoice, hope, and glory. Paul brings all of those words of comfort to us in the first two verses of chapter 5. And they are all possible because we are justified by our faith. Now, to help us all understand, the word justification means being made right or being brought into right relationship. And so here we're talking about being brought into right relationship with God. And when we believe in God by our faith in Jesus Christ, We are justified or brought into that right relationship. It is our salvation. If we think of justification and salvation along the same plane, it's saying that when we are in right relationship with God, we are at peace with God. And it is through that peace and right relationship that we are saved. Paul makes it clear at the very beginning of this chapter that coming into right relationship with God is the same thing as having peace with God. When we are at peace with God, we are not rebelling against Him. We sincerely desire to uphold His commandments, and we are not chasing false idols in search of happiness. When we are at peace with God, we have found the joy and the comfort that we desire. Paul tells us that as recipients of this peace, believers gain access into a place of grace through Jesus Christ. Grace is that unconditional love of God for us, the grace, the love that we do not deserve. Now, John Newton spoke of such grace in the well-known hymn that we all sing from time to time, Amazing Grace. Remember those words? It says, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. In the words, we learn that it is by faith that John Newton understood himself to be saved and ushered into a state of grace. The Apostle Paul also makes it clear in Romans that Christians stand in this grace. It is undeserved, it is unearned. This is why grace is so amazing. Our Lord Jesus brings us before God and gives us access to the Almighty One. Paul speaks in terms that indicate it's already done. He is not speaking of some future occurrence, but names the present reality of those who are justified by faith. And this becomes the basis for all that is to follow. As hearers of Paul's words, we are struck by the contrast that is made between humanity and Christ. Humanity, in its most sinful, weakened state, is the least deserving of God's mercy and goodness. But then, at the right time, when humanity needed God the most, Christ died for the ungodly. The Apostle Paul points out that common, ordinary humans would rarely ever die, even for a righteous person. But Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And Paul reminds us that this proof of God's incredible and unconditional love is for us. Now, in the opening verses of Romans 5, Paul presents the Christian life as a movement from hope to hope. Having been brought into right relationship with God by faith, and now having peace with God, we begin our faith journey in hope. And come what may, we may end the journey in hope as well, which means that even in the midst of life, in all of the uncertain times, in all of the times of suffering, we still have hope. In Paul's mind, the progression of our faith journey goes something like this. Hope, suffering, perseverance, character, and once again, hope. The various elements of this list are not separated. They are running into one another. Paul explicitly sees a progression from one to the next. Now, one of the greatest examples, I think, of understanding this notion of suffering for Christ and being saved by His grace and being justified by His grace occurs in the book of Acts when we see Peter and the apostles before the Sanhedrin. And let me just read to you a passage out of Acts because it says it so much better than I can. It says, having brought the apostles, they made them appear before the Sanhedrin to be questioned by the high priest. We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, he said. Yet you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching and are determined to make us guilty of this man's blood. Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. And then they heard this. They were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, who was honored by all the people, stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put aside for a little while. And then he addressed them. Men of Israel, consider carefully what you intend to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, and all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and all his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone. Let them go, for if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. His speech persuaded them, those of the Sanhedrin. They called the apostles in and had them flogged, and then they ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And then it says, the apostles left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name of Jesus Christ. Day after day, in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stop teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. That says it all. They were justified. They were justified by their faith in Jesus Christ. And even the Sanhedrin could not stop them. And they were honored even in their suffering. We know that suffering for Jesus doesn't need to include pain. Merely having the courage to speak the gospel and to defend the true teachings of Jesus can be a form of suffering. Remember the Beatitudes when Jesus is teaching on the hillside in Galilee. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And that too is a form of suffering for Jesus. The movement of the Christian life does not stop with suffering. Suffering leads to perseverance, which does not mean merely hanging on. It means pushing forward with the mission of Christ in spite of the difficulty. And at this point, you see, we realize that our faith is worth the perseverance, and it no longer becomes a burden to bear. Finally, in this progression, we have come full circle back to hope. As followers of Jesus, we start with hope and we end with hope. Such hope never disappoints us, because God in Jesus Christ is our hope. It is such hope that makes it possible for us to suffer and persevere and grow in character. We can say that the Christian life is a movement from hope to hope. Friends, we are justified by our faith. By having faith in God through our Lord Jesus, we are given peace with God, which gives us hope for all that may come our way. And in the words of Paul, hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. It's an extraordinary message, and the world nearly, dearly needs to hear from us. Let us speak up with hope. To the glory of God. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we do bow humbly before you on this Trinity Sunday. We remember the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We remember that each person of the triune God has come to be a part of our lives, to lead us and guide us and to direct us. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be justified, to come into right relationship with you. And we just pray that you will speak to each of us through the power of your Spirit, and that indeed we will be drawn to a closer right relationship. Lord, this morning we are mindful of those who are in need of your comfort and your care. We do lift up the family of Emily Knuckles. We pray, Lord, that you will comfort her family as they grieve her loss. And Lord, we just pray that you will be with them, give them courage and strength. And we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful life of Emily. We lift up Sophia Bishop, even at 4 years old, facing uncertainty and trials. Lord, we pray that as the doctors continue to evaluate her circumstances, that indeed you will give them wisdom, and that you will give them answers, and that she may be healed. Lord, we lift up to you Josep, our dear brother in Christ, as he now faces another cardiac procedure on July 25th. We thank you for knowing the specific date, and we pray that you will guide all of us as we pray for his complete recovery from the procedure that awaits him. And we pray that you will give him and his family courage. Give them courage and comfort. Lord, we do also pray for Daniel Harrison as he is now deployed to Afghanistan. We pray for his safety. And as he serves his country with dignity and honor, we pray, Lord, that we may all look forward to the day that he returns to his family in Colorado Springs. Lord, thank you for all of the many blessings that we have. We thank you for wedding anniversaries. We thank you for blessing Don and Brenda with so many glorious years. And we pray for many more years of happiness for them. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to serve young children as we enter into a week of vacation Bible school. We pray that you will guide all of us who are involved to help them feel the joy and to come to know Jesus Christ in even a greater way. And thank you, Lord, for those who volunteer their time to help teach and care for these children. So, Lord, we lift all of this to you with gratitude and praise. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord and Savior, the one who taught us to pray by saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." And now let us respond to God's word by returning our gifts to him.